Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us through this service, that we will be touched, and we can go out and face whatever is in front of us, knowing that you are there with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Weddings during the biblical time were the most festive time that could happen in these biblical villages. Everything stopped. Nobody did any work. Nobody did any play. They just concentrated on the wedding. But the weddings were in three stages. First was the wedding ceremony. And then the groom would go to the house of the father of the bride and negotiate for the dowry. That could take minutes, hours, or days. The wedding celebration started after that negotiation was through. The only obligation that the groom had was to send a messenger announcing that he was coming. What Phil read for us as in our scripture was right before the celebration. Negotiations were going on. And then the groom did send a messenger announcing that he was coming. But when the groom was on his way, the foolish bridesmaids realized they didn't have enough oil to keep their lights, their lamps lit. They had only brought what they had in the lamp. The wise bridesmaids were prepared. They had brought extra oil. The foolish bridesmaids tried to borrow oil from those that had come prepared. They said, no, we might not have enough if we give you part of ours. You go to those people that sell the oil. And that person is not mentioned as such in that parable, but he is an integral part of that story. That's the seller of the oil. I can imagine the day that those bridesmaids came in and he could tell by all their fluster and excitement that they were going to be part of a wedding party. He said, well, you better get extra oil because you don't know when that groom is going to come. Oh, no, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. He's trying to just sell more oil to us. We know that trick. So we can come back. Well, now, when they do come back, it's the middle of the night, and they're beating on his door to wake him up, to get him to sell them oil. And I can imagine that going through his mind were those foolish girls. I told them that they needed to get extra oil, but they wouldn't listen to me. That seller of oil did make me think about John the Baptist, who was prepared the way for Jesus Christ. In Malachi and Isaiah, we were told that there would be one that would forerun the Messiah. He would prepare the way for him. That's what we have to do with our lives, is buy up all the oil that we need. We need to listen to what John the Baptist was saying. We need to listen and follow what Jesus Christ said. To be prepared to have enough oil. And we cannot borrow other people's oil, just like those bridesmaids couldn't. They only could use what they had obtained themselves. That's what we have to do. Not only for this upcoming year, but for our lives. We have to prepare. We have to acquire all this oil that we need. Paul told us in Philippians that we are to press on press on to reach perfection, to become one with Christ. That's part of being prepared, is to press on to become one with Christ. There was a farmer that I read about that was he had a big need for a hired hand. And this man came to his door asking for work. And the farmer asked him, well, what can you do? He said, I can sleep when the wind blows. The farmer didn't have any idea what this guy was talking about, but he needed help. And he said, whatever that means, I want him. So he hired him. A few weeks later, in the middle of the night, a big storm came up. And the farmer woke up, sat up in his bed, and was thinking about the wire around his chicken coop had holes in it. His fences were weak in places. All his stock was out in the field. His hay was out in the field. The barn door was broken. And he went running out into the storm. And when he got out in the storm, he found that the chicken coop wire had been replaced. The fences had been repaired. All the stock was in the barn with a repaired door and fed. And the hay out in the field had tarps over it. And then he realized what that man was telling him when he hired him. I can sleep when the wind blows, because I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to do my job, and I'll be ready when a crisis comes. Now we know that Pastor Grant and Ann have had many crises in the last few years, and one just very recently, the last few weeks. And I had someone say to me about the pastor, said, you know, he is really resilient. And he is. And so is Ann. But that's the reason they are, is because they're prepared. They're prepared with their faith, with their outlook on life, and with their commitment to Jesus Christ. Paul, again, in Timothy, told us that there's bad and good in your house. These are kind of my words, but this is what he was saying. And he said, you better clear out the bad and mesh yourself with the good so you will be prepared. And that's what we have to do with our life now and in the future. I read about a little girl saying her prayer at night beside her bed. And her prayer went like this. Dear God, bless Mommy and Daddy and me. And dear God, please take care of yourself. Because if anything happened to you, we'd all be in a fix. That is the importance of God in our lives. That little girl had that message. She knew what that was. I've read a saying, and I think it's from an old gospel song, but I don't know the song, I just know the saying. So you won't have to bear me singing it. So I would just tell you this phrase, that we know not what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And Helen's shaking like she may know that song. I'll get you up here to sing it, Helen. And you know, when Joshua, in the Old Testament, when he was trying to get a new covenant with God through the Israelite people, and after he had made his pitch, he said, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua had it right. Joshua knew what he was talking about. Florence Chadwick was a long-distance swimmer. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. And she decided that she was going to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast, which is about the same distance as the English Channel. The day that she set out on that venture or started her swim, it was foggy, heavy fog. The water was ice cold. She swam. She had the support boats behind her, which they always do in these long swims like that. Most of the time, she couldn't even see the boats. The fog was so heavy. There were sharks circling her while she was making this swim, and the crew on the support boats were using rifles and firing at the sharks to keep, try to keep them away from Florence. She swam. She got numb. She had no idea where she was. After a little over 15 hours, she said, I've had it, take me out. She had not reached the California shore. They found out, as the boats took her in to the shore, she was only a half a mile from the shore. And she told a reporter, as she was there, said, look, I'm not making any excuses, but if I could have seen the land, I think I could have made it. You have to focus on your goals, friends. It means so much to see where you're headed. Now, Florence Chadwick did go back a few months later, and she made that swim, and she was successful in reaching the California shore. But she failed that first time because she could not see that goal. And a goal that we have in life, with our spiritual life, and the life we live, we have to focus on that goal. If you remember Paul, I keep going back to Paul because he said a lot, but Paul, in one of his letters to Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul was prepared for life, this life, and for that life afterward. And this was his response to the fact that he had focused on his goal. He had prepared, and he was reaching his goal, or his master. The thought for the week that we have on the sign out there is something that's very meaningful to me. Beth and I celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary on Friday, and that's something from our wedding. We had someone sing the song, I'll Walk with God, changing it all to plural. As most of you know, I didn't always follow with that, but we are now, and we will continue to. But I would like to read for you those lyrics of I'll Walk with God, but in the plural. We'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand we'll lean upon. This is our prayer, our humble plea. May the Lord be ever with us. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when we're near to Him. We'll lean on Him forever, and He'll forsake us never. He will not fail us as long as our faith is strong, whatever road we're on. We'll walk with God. We'll hold His hand. We'll talk with God He'll understand. We'll pray to Him each day to Him, and He'll hear the words that we say. His hand will guide our every way, and we'll never walk alone while we walk with God. May we, through this year, through all of our life, prepare ourselves and walk with God and with Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that as we leave here today, we can leave walking with You and continue that because we did prepare ourselves for life in this life and in the life to come. In Christ's name, amen.